Well, that was almost all the truth he told me. But I did. I did. I called him, I don't know, about a week, so a couple of weeks ago, and I told him that I would be in Tallahassee preaching at a church this morning, and that I had a message that I'd like to bring and preach to Capitol Heights. He said, "Come on, brother." And so, I know. But I want to thank you, preacher, for allowing me to fill your pulpit, God's pulpit. You know, it's good to be home. This was home for us until God led us to Georgia. The church I preached at this morning was the church that we used to attend before we attended here, become members here. And the pastor there said, the devil took him to Georgia. So, but it's good to be home. And preacher, I have no watch. So I know. Yeah. Okay. So, but if I start getting long-winded, somebody just raise their hand, and I'll tell you, when God tells me to hush, I'll hush, and we'll keep preaching. But I do have to say, I have to do this, or I'll get in trouble. Hi, Mom. I love you. My mom's watching out in Guy, Arkansas. I have two sisters that are actually three sisters out in Guy, Arkansas that's watching. And I have to give credits to them because they are my research team. When I get stumped and need to find a scripture in the Bible, I know it's in there. And I'll call my mama. My mama's 96 years old. I'll call her, "Mama, the Bible says this. Where can I find it at? I know it's in there." And she'll say, "Girls, Google this for Bobby." And so one of the sisters will come up with the answer. And then I have another sister that lives in Blackshear, Georgia. And some months ago, she sent me this text message and she said, "Bubba." All my sisters still call me Bubba for some reason. But she says, "Bubba," she says, "what do you think about this? Would this make a good message?" And so after praying about it, talking with God about it, God said it'd make a good message. So that's what we're going to preach on tonight. We're going to do our best anyway. And if I was going to title this, I would title it, "The Benefits of Being Born Again." Now, you know, how many of you in here, of course, I probably don't need to ask this question because looking around, you're all probably older than I am. So, but how many of you in here still works for a living? And that well, I know you do, preacher. Pastoring a church is a lot of work. But, and speaking of that, we've been up in Georgia since February of this year. And we ain't found a church yet. No, I'm serious. Ain't found a church yet. But number one, preaches out of the King James Version of the Bible that actually stands up in the pulpit and preaches. They either put it up on the screen and you have to read it, or they read word for word what they're supposed to be preaching. So in saying all of that, and I said this last time I was here, y'all need to hold on to this man. He's one of the greatest pastors I've ever met in my life. And I've met a lot of them. He's one of the greatest preachers I've ever met in my life. And I've met a lot of them. He loves God. There's no doubt about it. How much he loves Jesus Christ. And he shows it every day in his walk. You know, they tell me, be careful how you live your life. That might be the only Bible somebody ever will read. Well, he lives a life that you can read Jesus in him. You can see Jesus in that man. Y'all need to hang on to him. Now, that $50 you promised me, I'll take it after church. But anyhow, if you work for a company that has benefits along the way, like health insurance, life insurance, vacation plan, a retirement plan, you know, you get benefits for working, for doing something. Let me tell you, you got the best benefits you'd ever need by being a born-again Christian. There's no better benefits than that. If you have your Bibles, if you open them up to Romans, the 10th chapter, verse 13, that's going to be our text for tonight. It's very simple. It says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." That's a simple verse. It's simple to understand. When God laid out the plan of salvation, he laid it out so simple that a child could understand it. Whosoever, that means Bobby, you don't have to do nothing, Bobby. All you got to do is just call upon the name of the Lord. Call my name. Believe in me. Trust in me. And I'll save you. And once I save you, buddy, the benefit starts rolling in. You know, I said that, and we'll talk about it a little bit more here in just a minute. You know the only prayer God hears from an unsaved person? You know, they can pray all day long. Lord, hear this prayer. Lord, hear this prayer. Lord, hear this prayer. God don't hear them. The only prayer God hears from an unsaved person is, God, save me. And once he hears that, then every prayer you utter to him, every word you utter to him, he listens to, he hears. And it pleases him when you pray. It pleases him for you to get on your knees and pray to him and ask him for things. He wants to give you things. The Bible tells you he wants to give you things. And it pleases him. You know, one of the benefits we have is we have a VIP protection plan. It's called the Blood of Jesus Christ. You know, the Ephesians 1, 7, 8, 9 says, "In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to his riches of his grace, in which he has abound towards us in all wisdom and prudence." Isn't that a great verse of scripture? In his blood. When Jesus hung on that cross, when God said, "Son, I got a problem down there on earth. Look at these people down there. I need to do something about it. I need to give them a way out. I want you to go to earth, and I want you to shed your blood for them." His son looked at him and said, "Father, I'll be glad to." He did not say, "No, I don't want to go." He was willing. He came to earth. He lived here 33 years. Then they hung him on a cross. They pierced his hands. They pierced his feet. They pierced his side. They placed a crown of thorns on his head. They beat him unmercifully. He wasn't even recognizable to his own mother. That's how bad they beat him. And he'd done it so willingly. He gave his lifeblood. He covered every sin you and I have ever committed, committing today, and ever will commit. When He shed that blood, it covered it all. And we didn't have to do nothing for it. That's how much He loved us. All He's asked out of us is to believe on Him and accept Him as our Savior. That's the only thing He's asked out of us. And look what He's given us. Wouldn't you like to know that for the rest of your life, you're a VIP? You're walking around with all these privileges? All you got to do is just accept Him. I've heard Brother Derek many, 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 many times stand in this pulpit and say from my heart to God's heart. That's all you got to do. You don't have to walk the aisle, although God wants you to make a public confession, but you don't have to. It's from your heart. You believe. And He'll save you. There's nothing, no hoops you got to jump through, no bells you got to ring, no whistles you got to blow. Just believe in your heart that He's Christ, and He'll save you. That's simple, folks. The second benefit we got a personal guide. It's called the Bible. Things in your life not going right, get in the Word. You need answers to things, problems you got, get in God's Word. The Bible says, study to show thyself approved. We ought to be in God's Word every day. We ought to be reading God's Word. Morning, noon, and night. Every chance you get, you ought to be in God's Word. And when you're not in His Word, every chance you get, you ought to be on your knees, praying to Him, asking Him for guidance, asking Him to lead you and guide you. I'm sorry, preacher, I got to take my jacket off. You have to turn the air down. Folks, you know, He loved us so much. He still loves us today. He's going to love us forever. Nothing is going to change the love that God has for us. Nothing. There's nothing you can do or say that will change the love that God has for you. Now, in saying that, you may not accept the love He has for us. That's on you. And if you don't, if you turn your back on Him, if you don't accept His love, you die, you go to hell. There's only one way to heaven. You know, that's a one-way ticket. There's not a return flight coming back. It's a one-way. And the only way to heaven is through the shedding blood of Jesus Christ. You can't get there no other way. Another benefit we have. I know the preacher, he don't use notes like I use, so. We have a personal trainer. It's called the Holy Spirit. Romans 5:5 says, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who is given unto us. Christ gives us the Holy Spirit. It's ours. All we got to do is claim it. All we got to do is just reach out and say, yes, Lord, I'll take it. And He gives it to us. Then we're getting down to my two favorites. We've got a personal, direct line to God. It's called prayer. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, pray without ceasing. Let me ask you something. When's the last time that you've got down on your knees beside your bed, in front of your sofa, up here at this altar? When's the last time you got down on your knees and poured your heart out to God? You know what's wrong with our churches and our schools and this world today? We've quit praying to God. We've taken God out of everything we do. We've taken Him out of schools, and look what's happened. They're even taking Him out of churches. Look what's happening. You know, if we was, as Christian people, get on our knees and pour our hearts out to God and ask God to bless this nation, to bless us as a holy people, to return the things that we threw away, to bring it back to us, you would see a change in the churches. You would see a change in the school systems. You would see a change, and I don't try to bring politics into nothing, but you would see a change in our politicians. You would see people up in Washington that would be a God-fearing person that would lead this nation instead of what we got. You think about that, and you say, man, that's getting pretty close to being a politician. But it's not. Look at what we've put up there. We've put people up there that it's okay to have an abortion. That's a God-given right to you. Well, it's not. It's not a God-given right. It's wrong. We ought to not let them do it. We let them get up there to do it, we can stop them from doing it. We let one lady take God out of our schools. And we can't seem to get Him back in. We just, oh, it's okay. Let them do like they want to do. And just about once a week, someplace in this nation, you hear about somebody shooting up a school. Let's put God back in there and see what happens then. But we do. We have a direct line to God. If we was to stay on our knees in prayer and ask Him for things, like I told you a while ago, it pleases God for us to ask Him things. It pleases Him for us to ask Him for things. And if we ask Him for things, the Bible says, and we believe it and it's pleasing unto Him, He'll do it. God ain't going to lie to you. If God has lied one word in this Bible, you can take the whole Bible and just throw it out. It ain't no good. But He hasn't. And He stands on His word. You know the old saying, your word's your bond? I promise you, God's word is His bond. And He stands on it. And I guess one of my favorite ones in this, out of all these benefits we have, is we have a pass to an amazing paradise. Yeah. A free pass, folks. Didn't cost us a thing. God paid for it when Jesus shed His blood. You know, John chapter 14, verses 2 and 3 says, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. Now that's Christ talking. That's Jesus talking to His disciples. Them were His words. In my Father's house are many mansions. Man, we can see them. They're there. God tells us they're there. He says, I go to prepare a place for you. He didn't say, I'm going to prepare a mansion for you. He says, I'm going to prepare a place for you. Now, let's skip forward to the book of Revelations, and let's talk about what John seen when his vision on the Isle of Patmos, when he ascended into heaven, the vision he seen. What did he see? He saw the walls of jasper. He saw the street of gold. He saw the city of gold. He saw the gates of pearl. He seen the crystal river. He's seen it all. All them things John wrote about and told us about. They're there. We don't have to wonder. They're there. But now let me tell you what the Bible says about all of that. It says, eye has not seen, and ears have not heard, what lieth in store for them that loveth the Lord. Now, you can say, oh, I got a mansion here, and I got this there, and I got this, and it's all there. But Christ himself says, I go to prepare a place for you. Your mind can't even comprehend the kind of place he's preparing for us. It can't even remotely get there. And guess what? You know, that's part of that VIP package I was talking about. That's all ours. Every bit of it's ours. Because when he hung on that cross and he shed his blood, he looked ahead in time and he says, you know, in 1955, there's going to be an old sinner born. His name is going to be Bobby Heath, and he's not going to be worth much of nothing, but I love him already, that this is what I'm doing for him. And when he comes along, one day he's going to realize his sinful condition. One day he's going to realize what he's worth nothing, and he's going to accept me as his personal Savior. And then guess what's going to happen to him? I'm going to give him everything that I own. It's his. Just because I accepted Christ as my Savior. If you want some of this stuff I'm talking about tonight, that's the only way you get it. Is by accepting him as a... And you never know who you're talking to. Chances are about everybody sitting in here, I would just kind of guess that you're saved, but you never know. I've seen deacons, has been deacons of church for 20 and 30 years. God get a hold of them. They walk that aisle and give their life to God and accept him as their personal Savior. I've seen song leaders come down out of the, off the pulpit and weeping like a baby and give their life to God. I've seen church members that's been church member for years. Finally, God gets a hold of them, shakes them up, and they turn their life over to God. So you never know who you're talking to. And then the last one I want to bring out to you tonight, and I guess this is my favorite, is it's the status of being called an heir to the King. How did I get that way? Romans chapter 8, verses 16, 17 says, the Spirit himself bears witness to our spirit that we are the children of God. Isn't that a great verse? Man, if that verse don't want to make your shout button get pushed, I don't know what will. Verse 17 says, and if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. Folks, everything I've tried to bring to you tonight, you only can have them one way. Like I told you, it's a one-way trip. You can only get there one way. And that's through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. If you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I beg of you, don't leave here tonight. If you want to know more about how to accept Christ, now I kind of read a scripture that makes it so plain. You know, John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever, if Derek shall believe in him. He shall have everlasting life. It's that plain. It's that simple. You don't have to do nothing. All you got to do is believe in him. Please don't leave here tonight. I will be glad to stay as late as you want. Although the devil did take me back to Georgia. But I'll be glad to stay as late as you want. I will take the Bible. I will show you the plan of salvation. I promise you, if you want to know, and you don't want to come to me, if you want to come to Brother Derek, he'll stay. Brother Andy will stay. The men of this church will stay, and they will pray with you. They'll take their Bibles, and they'll show you the way. It's not an excuse of, well, I didn't have an opportunity. I didn't have a chance. You know, the Bible tells us we're going to stand before God one day, and we're going to give an account of our actions, what he gave us to do. And if we're here tonight and we're not heeding to his call, then we're going to stand before him and we're going to give an account for that. He's going to say, brother, on October the 23rd, that Sunday night, the man gave you an invitation and you turned it down. How come? Explain to me. What you going to tell them? I'm ashamed of you. I was ashamed to get up and come. The Bible says, don't be ashamed of God. If you're ashamed of him before men, he'll be ashamed of you before God. So don't do that. If something's not right in your life, you're a born-again Christian, but something just ain't right in your life, you're not doing the things God called you to do, you're not working in the church like you ought to be working, you're not visiting like you ought to be visiting. If I was to ask you to raise hands, how many, and I don't want you to raise your hand, how many of you in here tonight could raise your hand and say, you know, I met somebody this past week and had the opportunity to tell them about Christ and I didn't do it. How many of you could raise your hand to that? That's something, isn't it? Well, that's something to think about. Because if you had that opportunity and you didn't do it, you stand before Christ, you're going to give an account of that. You know? How many of you this week, there again, don't raise your hands, got on the telephone and called up your next door neighbor and said, hey, how about coming and go to church with me Sunday morning? You ought to hear our pastor down there. And he's an old country boy, and he just, you know, he stumbles around a bunch, but he's a God-fearing man. He preaches the word. He preaches out of the Bible, not out of Field and Streams, like a lot of preachers could. He preaches God's word. Come go to church with me. Come and let's see what it's all about. Come and let me show you what I do on Sundays. How many of you done that this week? Although I was going to be down in Tallahassee this week, I invited, and I'm not pulling my whip, I invited four different people from Tallahassee to come and hear me preach this morning. I didn't figure they'd come out this far, so. But that's the only way we're going to get people back in church. That's the only way that we're going to get this country back where it ought to be. It's by being a God-fearing nation, a God-believing nation, a praying nation unto God. You know, the Bible tells us, walk in the light as he is in the light and we'll have fellowship one with another. Are we walking in that light? Are we doing the things God called us to do? Are we doing the work? And you might say, well, he don't have a work for me. I promise you this. When he saved you, he called you out. And when he called you out, he called you to do something. Now, it may not be stand up here and preach. It may not be stand up here and lead singing. It may not be able to run that sound system or watch the door. But he called you to do something in this church. And the only way you're going to figure out what it was that he wants you to do, I suggest you come down here tonight and get on your knees and pour your heart out to God and ask him, Lord, what is it you want me to do? I'm willing to do it. I'm willing to do whatever it is you called me to do. And if you don't, I'm sorry, but you're going to stand and give an account for that. Preacher, I'm going to ask you to come. We don't have no music back there, but we are going to sing a stanza, a cappella. I think we can still do that. Of every song he says, sing. Please don't leave here tonight without making the decision for God.